What's up, y'all, and welcome into the Jack Vita and Brooke Strux Show.
I'm glad I get an ad in there.
Yeah, this is the Jack and Brooke Deal or No Deal Island podcast. This is our second recap for the fourth episode of Deal or No Deal Island. We'll be providing these each week. And this week's episode is titled, Are You Intuitive? And I didn't realize this, Brooke. Every single episode so far has been, Are You Something?
Oh, I haven't noticed that either.
So we've got, last week it was, Are You Fearless? It was, Are You Calculating? Are You a Gambler? So what's next week going to be? Are You Fun?
Yeah. Well, it clearly hints at whatever the challenge is, so...
That's true. Yeah. So maybe it'll be a fun challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a moron?
Yeah.
First things first, what'd you think of episode 4? You liking it?
I liked it. This was a crazy one. Interesting to see, like, you know, what was going to happen with Rob, who's one of the bigger characters on this season and stuff. So it was a good one. I liked it. I liked the challenge. It was an interesting one. You know, it was different than other types of challenges you see in like Fear Factor, Survivor, you know, just reading people. So I liked that like twist.
I think the episodes are getting better each week. I think we're building momentum, we're building characters, we're establishing characters, and this was the best episode yet. It had me on the edge of my seat, as did last week, but I'm just like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Is he going to get thrown in there? Is he going to win? What's the deal going to be? Is he going to be safe? And then who's he going to pick? Like, this episode had everything.
Yeah, no, I've really liked we talked about it before. They did a great job casting this season. I really feel like they, you know, they hit the mark. And it was interesting to see Claudia's exit interview too. And, you know, I can see, especially watching that. I mean, you watched her in the show. She was great TV. But in her exit interview, you can see how she's like going to stir up trouble. She's going to really give you like comments in her confessional time about what's going on. And she doesn't mince words. She calls it like it is. She doesn't like someone. She's going to tell them. So anyway, she was great. So, but it was good to see that the show is still just as great, even without her and her commentary, you know?
As Brooke mentions, each week we'll be having the exit interviews. So we'll be talking with Kim. I'll be talking with Kim tomorrow, and that'll be out sometime later this week. We're taping this on Monday, and so be interesting. We'll talk about that a little later. But yeah, speaking of Claudia, before we dive into everything this episode, that seemed to be like the number one comment, where there are a lot of people commenting and saying, wow, I didn't realize she was this sassy.
Yeah, it's funny that they like that even got, I mean, probably got edited out a little bit on there. I mean, they can only give so much time to each contestant, but it was, it was good to see her on it and see her personality outside of that. And also to hear all the other projects she's been on. So,
yeah. And I guess part of why they probably did, they edited her and didn't like show the sassiness was because, well, one, she was only on 3 episodes. So they only had so much footage and story to work with her, mm-hmm. but her story was sacrificing herself for her alliance. So she got probably more of a heroic edit than she would have if she had done something a little more cutthroat or villainous.
Yeah, it's true.
But she was good TV. But hey, we got so many good people in this cast. The show's so interesting. You mentioned the challenge. Let's lead off with that. This is such a cool challenge. You mentioned this. I can't remember seeing a challenge like this where it was a little bit of like a poker game, mm-hmm. where you're really kind of reading and there's a bluff and it's kind of like which case. So, of course, this episode, they go out and they each grab a briefcase and they come back. And whoever comes back first gets to pick if they want to be the bluffer or the person calling the bluff, so to speak. And there are 2 cases, and the bluffer person is opening up the case, and you're studying their reactions and trying to guess, like figure out their tells and determine which case has the higher value, and you get that case if you call it. Mm-hmm. So I love this challenge. And I mentioned this last week. What I really like, I think they've had some really creative, cool challenges on here, and they're very consequential to the gameplay and the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because I was thinking about it, and you know how the first team back gets to pick if they're choosing the case or if they're the bluffer. And it's funny because each time they were picking, they wanted to choose the case and try and read the tell. And I feel like that would be the harder thing to do. But, you know, they did a great job right up until the end. You know, they were killing it. And Rob was amazing at that. It was just one where I was like, how, I mean, he, you know, he plays poker and things like that. And he's done these reality shows, but I can see now, and I think he said he had a psychology degree, and now I can see like how that's helped him, but it's kind of, it's crazy. Like in my line of work, being an attorney, so often you're trying to figure out, like, even if your own clients are lying to you sometimes, and so you're trying to read people and things. And I'm like, man, I don't think I'm as good at it as Rob is. He really like nailed it, just analyzing which way they were looking or what they did or how they fidgeted. It was interesting. And I thought about it afterwards too. I'm like, okay, now I'm going to try and see if I can pick up on this when I'm talking to people.
Well, it's funny that you say that. And first of all, I'll mention on Rob, a lot of people don't know this. Boston Rob, had he never gone on Survivor, his plan for his life was to be a medical doctor. So picture Rob as like, hey, you're sick today. Let me check you out.
That would be funny.
He studied psychology. He's a brilliant guy. And I think when he first played Survivor the first couple times, people didn't know that he was such a smart guy because he just seems like a New England bro, construction worker. But yeah, and he has that psychology degree. I was going to ask you this, Brooke, and you already answered it. I was going to say, would you have rather been the person bluffing or calling the bluff? Because I kind of feel like it was something where I was thinking about it later and hearing you talk about it, it sounds like you would, I'll let you answer the question. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I feel like picking the case would have been so much pressure. And I don't know, I feel like in my line of work, like I would be better at being the bluffer, but everybody thought that and then it failed. And so you really like, I think I would have done the same thing where I would have thought it would have been better to be the bluffer. But then I don't know how that would have played out. So it's like one where I'm like, I wish I could play Rob at this. See, like, as a test of like, how good am I at bluffing on things?
And Brooke likes poker, I should mention. Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I played, but yes, that was like my side gig for earning money in college and a little bit in law school. Some in high school too, so.
I think it's a thing where, and I was thinking about it because I would have rather been the person calling the bluff. And it made me think that we each kind of, it's like there are two kinds of people in this world, people who can like detect BS and people who are the BSers.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about this. I was like, I would definitely be better. Like, I think I'm pretty good at reading people, but I don't know. I feel like people can read me pretty well. Like, I'm just very authentic and raw and real. So I feel like I would be a giveaway, but I think I could detect it. And I also thought about this because obviously I do a lot of podcasts with Stephanie LaGrossa. Uh-huh. Stephanie would totally be the person reading the bluff and not the bluffer.
Yeah. I feel like Stephanie, yeah, can't help herself, but be say exactly.
But she's really good at reading people too.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, you know what? I think too, it takes a person that has attention to detail. Whereas I feel like when I read someone, I go on more of like an emotional feel of things. I'm not looking at like how they're moving, their eye stuff. Like that's things where I just gloss over that. But apparently it's really important and can tell you a lot.
Well, we learned a lot from Rob. And I got to ask this question, Brooke. Is it really fair for Rob to be able to call everything from the sidelines? I feel like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's kind of one where, you do have the one person out there on the team that's going out and racing to get the case. But yeah, once you're back there, it's really a team effort, you know, and calling whether someone's bluffing or not. And he basically ran that. But you've seen Rob do that on everything. He kind of runs the show and tells everybody what to do, and they listen to him. So
I was just thinking, I feel like Rob's ability to read people kind of broke the challenge, even though they didn't end up winning, which is funny. They did not end up winning, and we'll talk about why in a second. But I definitely think it would have been a little more interesting if it was more of like a 1v1 showdown and hear that person's rationale of why they thought that person may have been bluffing or what they thought. Instead, it's the Rob show, and Rob's amazing, and I love Rob, and I'm glad he's on the show. Yeah. I was just like, there's a point where Miranda, it seemed like she was doing a pretty good job. And then Rob tells whoever it is that's trying to pick a case, are you sure you want that one? And the first thing she does, she looks over to Joe like, seriously? Like, this is fair? Is he allowed to do this? I thought it was over. And like, I sympathize with her because it did seem like she did a good job. And then Rob even points out, he's like, okay, well, the fact that she's doing that means it's got to be this. So I feel like Rob kind of broke the challenge a little bit.
Yeah, but you have to realize it's a very well-done challenge if it's still anybody's game until the end. You know, even though he was really good at bluffing, like that was the thing, is it didn't even matter if you were the best at calling bluffs. It's all, I mean, it also matters on like how much are the cases when you do get it right versus wrong. And so, you know, it was a really well done challenge because it still was a level playing field and the other side won, even though I did not see that coming. I thought for sure they had it in the bag.
Well, the shining star and the standout performance from it, this is what we did on the Traders podcast. We always gave out the Rachel Riley Award for the best faithful. Oh. So I'm curious who you think did who was the standout in this challenge? Because, I mean, it's between two people.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say Aaron at the end was amazing, but that was kind of one and done. I feel like Rob just nailed it so many times that I was just shocked at what he noticed and called it right. And so I would say Rob.
Interesting. I was actually going to go with another person. Huh. I was thinking Alyssa was the reason that they won the challenge because she held her own so well. And that was really interesting how she said, like, I worked as a theme park character for 7 years. So I have used to staying in character, and she held her own. She gave nothing off. She was definitely the best bluffer, so to speak. Yeah. And that proved to be the hardest part of the challenge. And then her case ended up being the highest total. So
yeah, that's a good point.
That was my pick. But I guess I wasn't thinking Rob because Rob broke the challenge. So Rob probably did the best job out of anybody. But if I'm looking at like, why did they win?
Yeah, like turning the tide and stuff. It was definitely Alyssa like that sealed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Aaron, it's kind of fun that he ends up besting Rob in this. It was like a little moment of like the apprentice outdoing the person that he's doing an internship for kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Rob kind of looks at him kind of like, I'm proud of him. Like he's my son. And then we get like the little moment later where he's helping him with his cufflinks and he's like, bro, what's going on with your cuffs? Come on, man.
I know. No, it's really sweet to see like how they interact because it's such, I mean, they're just the polar opposites, the two characters that are the most, or contestants that are the most different. And that was, and of course, like Rob did exactly what he was supposed to. I mean, he's paddling out against Aaron. He's like, come on, Aaron, you know, like he made the best sales pitch he could have made to try and save himself, to be like, Aaron, throw the challenge. And props to Aaron. He didn't, you know, succumb to what Claudia did and like take one for like his alliance or anything. And so, you know, Aaron was smart and didn't just give in to, you know, what Rob was saying, which was great, you know?
Yeah, I'm starting to get concerned about Rob. I'm really starting to get concerned. And he survived this episode and he did a great job. And we'll talk more about that. But like Aaron, I think he thought that Aaron would be his yes man who would go along with everything he said. And you see Aaron here in the challenge, not going along with that, which is kind of funny because it's like, hey, man, like, can you just lose this so I can be safe? And Aaron's like, no, like, no, I don't. It's like, can I borrow $1,000 from you and not pay you back? And it's like, no, like, yeah. I need that money for myself.
And everybody was watching too, like, what are they talking about? They're talking out there and stuff. So
yeah.
It's also, I feel like if Rob had won, then I think Aaron would have gotten flack from his team that like, hey, you threw this because of what was going on out there. I think that's the thing that we didn't see that play out because Aaron made the right choice for himself and didn't give in to Rob. But when I saw that happening, I was like, ooh, Aaron's going to be in deep water if he does do this, you know, because they're going to call him out on it and think he's in a, you know, throwing the game for Rob.
100%. I had that thought. I watched the episode a second time just about an hour ago. And I was like, man, this is a high pressure, big stakes spot here for Aaron, because if he loses, you know, it was interesting because Dawson was the captain. So did they like was it determined randomly of who got to be the captain, or did they defer? Did someone just get to?
I don't recall on that. I didn't pay attention to how they did it.
Because I don't see how Rob would allow anybody else to be the captain, because Rob wants the safety. He wants the pressure. Mm-hmm. So it would have been interesting to see what Dawson would have done, because Dawson, we end up seeing later, it kind of looks like it seems like there are a couple of factions breaking off, and there is more of a Rob defector group now that we're seeing, with Amy getting a lot of airtime. Kim, bless her heart, she fought the good fight. Unfortunately, I'll be talking with her tomorrow. And then Dawson was talking with them, and then Stephanie also was the person last week. So it seems like the anti-Rob camp, if it wasn't, like, maybe it already was that many people, or maybe it's a growing group. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting to me, because I don't know, maybe Dawson could have thrown Aaron in if they had won.
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, so when you say you're worried about Rob, you mean worried about him going out, or worried about him taking everyone else out?
I'm worried.
Rooting for Rob.
I'm worried about Rob losing, because, and I'm a huge Rob fan. That's why I say I'm worried, because I always want to see Rob on TV. I always want to see him win. He's so entertaining. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the clues are there in the edit so far with Aaron. There's a lot of stuff where Aaron is talking about kind of like, you know, he's talking about his Magic the Gathering cards, and he talks about what kind of card Rob is. And he basically says, like, Rob's dangerous. And he said something along the lines of, like, I'm going to have to get him out before he can get me, type of thing. And there are other clues within the edit. Like, when Rob tries to kind of bulldoze people and say, like, let me win or whatever, Aaron is one of the people who is objecting to that. They're starting to show more of this Aaron and Alyssa dynamic. So I'm starting, I think Rob thinks that Aaron is his yes man who's going to go along with everything. And everything we've been seeing so far in the edit is Aaron being like, Rob thinks he can control me, but he can't. So I think we're setting it up for Rob to eventually, maybe it ends up at the hands of Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I think Rob knows that Aaron isn't his yes man. I mean, I think Aaron tried to like lay low on that. But that's the thing, is at some point, like in any of these type reality shows, you know, you can kind of bluff it so long, and then you're going to get in a situation where you have to do a vote or you have to make a move. And then it's going to tell everybody where your true alliances lie, you know, or if you're looking out for yourself. And so I think that's kind of what happened with Aaron, is now Rob's going to be a little bit less trustworthy. Well, I think Rob now knows Aaron just isn't his complete puppet.
Yeah. And I do think that Aaron may get exposed here, because at the end of the episode, Aaron gets voted the most trustworthy person. And what I think was extremely smart about Aaron, and I'm sure you can speak to this from your own reality TV career and experience, is he says, my biggest fear is these people are all going back to camp and I'm not there, and they're probably going to talk about me. And this is an opportunity where he could get exposed. Why do all these people think I'm so trustworthy? I'm not there. Like, it's just, there's a Adam Carolla, the comedian, has a joke where his joke is like, when a group of five, like if there's a group of five women that are friends and four of them go out to lunch, what do they talk about the whole time? The fifth woman is not there.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. In reality shows, you want to be there right in the middle of everything, because otherwise people can be talking about you, plotting against you. And it's like, it's very real. It happens. Many people have gone down like that. There's this edit on my scene where, you know, I got blindsided when I got voted out, you know, and they'd shuffled the tribes. We were four and four, four original team members and four new ones. And so it's like, who's going to flip and vote with the other side? And obviously I was told it was going to go the other way, but there's this edit where I think it's Stephanie and Judd are sitting there on the Mayan ruins and they're talking, and I just walk over and sit in the middle of them and it just goes dead silent. That's the thing where I was like, they're talking about me, I'm going to go sit in the middle and stop it. But that's the same kind of thing. Like, Aaron's smart. Like, he knows that leaving means that could put him at risk, because he's not going to know. This is the thing, is you have no one you can 100% trust in these games. And so he's going to go. He's not going to know what happened back at camp. And even when everybody tells him, are they really telling him the truth?
Absolutely. And that's a great story from Survivor Guatemala. And I got to ask you, so you mentioned you were blindsided. Didn't think you were going home that night?
Not a clue. Nope. Zero. I think it was, if I recall correctly, I mean, we got shuffled. We got our new tribe. And then we were going right away to, I guess we had a little bit of time once we knew we were getting voted out, but we just gotten to know everybody. We didn't know where the alliances were. And Judd had said he was sticking with us, and everybody said we were voting off Lydia, who was the weakest physically on the team. And I'd done better at challenges than Judd. So I thought I was safe. And just when you think you're safe is always when it means you're about to go. I hadn't watched as much reality TV at that time. I was in law school. And I've been knowing what I know now.
Yeah.
Played that a lot different.
Brooke, you hadn't seen Survivor really, right? You had just watched Palau.
I'd watched Palau and I'd actually watched Rob's season, Arcasis. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those were the ones that I'd watched, and otherwise bits and pieces here. So no, I hadn't watched. It was one of those things where, you know, it's like people watch these shows and think it's so easy and so simple. And then not until you really like know the game and learned it. And so you realize the people that are, you know, super fans, they have a lot more head knowledge. I mean, there's the head knowledge of the game that's immensely helpful. And then there's also having the emotional and physical stamina. So you can have the people that have the head knowledge, but they crumble in the emotional and physical situations. And then you can have people emotionally, physically who are like outstanding. But if you really don't know the ins and outs of the game, you're at a huge disadvantage. So.
All right. And now Brooke is an expert on reality TV since then, in the 19 or so years since then. She's watched a lot of these shows, so she knows what she's talking about now.
Well, definitely not an expert. There's people who watch many more of these shows than I do.
No, you're an expert. That's why people are listening to you right now. All right. So Rob, then, so they end up, because of two heroic moments from Alyssa and from Aaron. It was interesting because both of these big, big moments and plays came from them doing a successful job of bluffing, and that turned the tides. And I think Alyssa's case was like the real big case that I think swung it, but they needed Aaron as well. Aaron bests Rob, and now that group they're all safe. And then Amy is the person who hadn't gotten too much screen time prior to tonight, but she kind of became a star in this episode, where she was a pivotal part of the story in terms of she gets to pick who she's going to put in. Rob goes to her directly, and Rob sees this. So I wrote this all down. So the people that are immune are Amy, Alyssa, Aaron, Miranda, and Jordan. So, and then the people who are not safe are Nick, Dawson, Kim, Stephanie, and Boston Rob. So I think Rob is thinking here, if Kim, Stephanie, or Dawson, because it seemed like Dawson was kind of in that anti, because he goes up and he says, like, throw me in instead, put me in. I think he's like, okay, well, if any of those people get picked, I'm gone. Like, they're going to, and they win, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. So he says, you know, I want the ball in my hands in the fourth quarter. I want to take that last shot. I'd rather put my fate in my own hands and get a chance to play, save myself, and then I've got all the power. Would you have let Rob do this if you were Amy?
Oh, yeah. I was like, let Rob do it. I mean, Rob made the right choice. And you've seen more people,
it's a great move, yeah,
win so far at the end, at the Deal or No Deal challenge. On Amy's end of it, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, if her ultimate goal was to get Rob out, then she shouldn't have picked Rob. You know, that's bottom line. I think she should have picked someone else on the team to play, because then Rob would have been going out.
From Amy's perspective, if the ultimate goal was, I want the greatest chance of Rob going out, she's probably better off picking one of her friends, but then it's a catch-22, because if her friend loses, her friend's gone. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of she's probably feeling the power here, where she's like, well, Rob's definitely not going to pick me. And maybe I can make him a little happy by giving him what he wants if he ends up surviving. Yeah. So maybe that was the rationale.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing too, is then she knows who Rob wants to get out. Although, I mean, Amy was a little off at the start of that episode too. She was running
around. But she's safe. She's immune.
Well, no, that's true. She's safe. But yeah, she was interesting at the start where she was running around, like trying to make an alliance with Aaron. And then Aaron talks about it. And then that was just a huge, you know, backfire and things.
And Rob has some really good confessionals during this whole, like, Amy kind of, I don't know what to call it. She's everywhere. She's everywhere. She's plotting. She's talking a lot.
Yeah.
And Rob says, on NBC tonight, Amy is losing her mind. I know.
And it's cute. I mean, it's cute. She's sitting there talking to herself in the chair. And then when they were like having drinks and stuff, and Rob's just sitting back, and that was a great edit. That was pretty funny to watch and things. But you do see people when you're out there and you're alone and you have no one else to talk to. I mean, it's not the weirdest thing that you're having these internal conversations externally, although hers were a little more over the top on stuff. I mean, I've liked her, and she's entertaining to watch too. And then you have Miranda, who starts off like, everybody, let's be positive. Let's all say something nice about everybody. And so, which Kumbaya stuff's great, but it's a game and everybody's fighting for millions of dollars. So they can say all that, but they really don't mean it.
Yeah. Miranda was like, I'm tired of people strategizing. Let's just have some fun. And I don't think that's going to be a great, and they're showing that on TV. I think they're showing that, you know, she might not end up winning this game.
It's not really winning strategy. That's the only reason you go on these shows. You got to be strategizing every minute, because if you don't, if you get complacent and think you're safe, take it from me, you're out.
Well, she's got a point, because you got to be strategizing, you got to be thinking, but you also don't want to be seen as someone who's overly strategic and only talking about strategy. And you do want to have some downtime where you're just talking about stuff. But I think at the end of the day, you don't want to ever, like on Survivor, if everybody's building a shelter, go help build the shelter. Don't be the person going looking for an idol. If people don't want to build a shelter and they just want to relax, don't be the person going off and building by yourself. Like, you always want to do what the group, you want to be a chameleon. And yeah. I think that it seemed like everybody else was talking about strategy, and she was, you know, and who knows, this is reality TV. It's probably just part of the edit, but I think that's a sign in the edit that things might not go amazingly for her. She might not win this game.
Yeah. And also, you can't be the one bossing everyone around to build the shelter, because many of people have gotten voted off early on because they were trying to boss everyone at camp. It's like an early way to get voted out. So same thing is like when you have someone who's trying to be in charge and run the show, that doesn't fly either. So you're right. Like, you have to be, you kind of have to get along with everybody, and you have to seem safe, but you have to seem like you're not playing as hard as you're really playing.
So when Amy's just like going off, it's an Amy tell all. She needs her own show. Like, she's just talking. What I thought was funny is then Rob says, like, I'm going to go over there. And he puts some kind of, like, it looked like a sombrero. I don't know exactly what hat it was. It's like, I've never seen Rob wearing a hat like that. I'm always used to, like, the Red Sox hat.
Yeah.
He's wearing that, and then he's just going to sit there and eat a banana. And he basically is talking like, this would be funny if I did this. It's like, oh, Rob, you're so funny. Like, what? Yep. You just want to kind of be in the shot while this is going on.
Yes. Well, and it's also one, too, for veterans of, like, reality TV, people who played this before, you also realize that, like, it makes for good TV when you add, instead of just thinking about the game 24/7, like, there's a lot of fun, funny, like, great stuff that happens when you're out there, a lot of camaraderie, a lot of crazy things. And so, you know, he's living in the moment and playing up this other stuff too, because it is really funny. And that's where you get, like, you can see that he's done this before and he knows, like, this is great. Let's play off this and, you know, let it play out.
Yeah. There's a lot of, Traitors season 2, which I know you haven't had time to get around to. There's a lot of people. There are a lot of people that are just going for it, that are like, okay, I'm going to go make some good TV. I'm going to do this thing. It's not going to be totally necessary, but it'll get me screen time. It'll be funny. Yeah. And we love to see that. It's always fun. So, all right, moving along here. She ends up picking Rob. We get down to the deal or no deal game. And she says something along the lines of like, or actually before I say this, Dawson, as I mentioned before, Dawson says, pick Kim or pick me. Like, so this is actually interesting because these people seem like they're actually her allies, or at least closer to her than the person that she absolutely wants gone. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, come on, like, put us in, like, we'll take, and it's, I think Dawson is saying, I'll get rid of Rob if I win. And Kim certainly is getting rid of Rob.
Yeah.
And she ends up going with the person that, like, she has no connection with, who she's trying to get out. So that was an interesting decision. I do think that while she does have the safety and she knows that if Rob wins, she's not going home in this round, I think the right move probably would have been Kim.
Yeah, because Kim's played before and she... and so she definitely had, I think Kim would have been the best bet because Kim's played, she already showed she was pretty savvy about how to play deal or no deal. She's got experience watching reality shows and she would have been guaranteed sending Rob home at this point. And it was interesting because Dawson, I can't remember what the exact quote was, but he basically said like, I know Rob's controlling this game, you know? And so you knew that he was going to send Rob home too. And so, yeah, I think obviously she should have, if she really wanted Rob out, the safer bet was to do Kim or, you know, Dawson. Although I don't know that she could have been quite as certain that Dawson was going to send Rob home, but Kim for sure.
Yeah. And I think it can be a win-win if you put Kim in there because your best case scenario is Kim wins and then she can take Rob out for you. And the loss is that you can keep the other group happy because then they got rid of Kim. So you could kind of spin that in a way of like, you know, okay, you know, see, like I went along with that plan that you guys wanted to throw Kim in no matter what. Not to say that that would provide entire cover because she kind of exposed herself and showed her cards earlier, but I think that probably would have been the best move.
Yeah, I agree.
So Rob gets picked and she says something along the lines of, she's like, I gotta make the decision. Am I going to play the game real or am I going to be fake like all these other people? She's like, I'm going to be real and I'm going to throw Rob in there. And I was thinking, I'm like, don't you want to be kind of fake on these shows? Like, isn't that how you win?
Yeah. No, you can't show all your cards. That's the thing is like being real doesn't help advance you, you know, like you have to be like, sure, you can vent to the camera who you don't like, but if you're going to sit there and out it to everybody, you just put a target on your back.
Yeah. You want to always be real and show your true personality, but you don't want to reveal all your plans and your gameplay and your strategy. And if you have to be fake nice to somebody, that's typically the move. You don't want to be real mean to them.
Yeah. I know. You don't want to show that yet.
So she ends up picking Rob, and Rob is, it's actually funny because I noticed this, every number he picked, it seemed, it was someone's birthday in his family.
Mm-hmm.
And this ended up playing out the way that we talked last week, where we were saying, at least I was saying, isn't this how you want it to go? You want to take out all the big cases and leave all the small cases and then have at least one or a couple of big cases. So Rob ends up with his offer, there are 12 cases and 9 of them are under $1,000. So like he's got the penny, the $1, 10, 25, 50, 100, 300, 500, 750. He's got all 9 of those. And then he's got 3 that are above that, 100,000, 400,000, 600,000. So this is what we were talking about last week. Wish if you're playing this game, you want to get most of those on the right side out and then have at least a couple left. You don't want to lose all of them. And if you can keep everything on the left side, your offer is going to be much higher than everything on the left side. So he ends up getting an offer where it's higher than 9 of the cases and lower than 3 of the cases.
Yeah.
Simple probability takes the deal.
Yes. And so this is what's interesting. So in every game show, reality show, they have to have the rules laid out in advance, especially for these reality shows, so that they can't change up the game partway through to try and have someone advance because they're good TV. You know, is that whole quiz show thing, if you remember that movie back in the day, won an Oscar. And so like when we had, you know, when Mark Burnett Productions was doing Survivor and out there filming, there was someone from CBS to monitor that, like, hey, all the, you know, the days you're doing a tribal swap, everything's laid out in advance so they can't switch up the game mid thing. So it was interesting as I was watching this, I was thinking, can the banker make better offers? Because obviously they're not going to predetermine what offer the banker makes because it's in the moment. You don't know what cases are going to be left. It'd be interesting to know, you know, how they determine what the offer is going to be. But when I saw that, I was like, this one's so obvious. There's only three cases higher and there's so many, what was it? Nine lower? Was that it? Eight lower? Anyway, that it's obvious. You statistically, you're going to take that deal because your odds are very good that you're going to beat the banker if you, you know, that you're going to win if you take that deal. So my thought was, I wonder if it had been somebody that was not Rob, would they have split the cases more down the middle?
Hmm.
I don't know.
Good question. I'm going to say no, because I think if you're playing a regular game of Deal or No Deal, mm-hmm. like this is why I think you want this outcome, because yes, there's like a nine, there's like a, okay, so you got a 75% chance that it's under $100,000, but there's also like, if you're playing the, if you play the game longer, it's more likely that you knock out all those smaller cases.
Mm-hmm.
And these cases on the left are kind of, they're closer to each other in value than the ones on the right. So there's a greater discrepancy between 100 to 400. It's like $300,000. Yeah. So whenever you're watching Deal or No Deal, as long as those big cases are there, the job of the banker is, I want to offer a deal where I don't have to go up to this highest amount that I have. So the highest amounts are 100, 400, 600. So basically anything that's over 750,
mm-hmm.
like they could have offered him $1,000 and it would have been the same thing as the 40, like for the sake of the game. Mm-hmm. But you want him to accept that deal. So like if this was a regular game of Deal or No Deal, you offer $1,000 and you're like, I didn't come here to win $1,000. Let's keep rolling. But in this situation, you just want a an offer that's higher than what the bankers are, or than what's in your case. So honestly, for me, I think it's more of just like a, maybe it's a flaw in the format, because I was thinking about this, like, would it be better if your goal was that you had to obtain a certain dollar amount? Because in any case, like, ha, no pun intended. In any case, it's a lot of times going to be a 50-50 shot of, is it, you know, do you have something that's like, you want the low, you want a penny in your briefcase. That's the mm-hmm. day ideal.
Yeah.
And if you're playing normal Deal or No Deal, you don't want a penny.
Yes.
In your case.
And I get that, yeah, in normal Deal or No Deal, you know, you want the highest value because that's where your game ends. You know, you get the case and game over. Whereas this, though, you know, even if you get a low amount in the case, you're playing for something bigger in the end. And so it doesn't have the same level, you know, to entice you like it would before. I mean, granted, we talked about that last time. Some people may be distracted by, oh, I need to get the highest value to build, you know, a larger pool for winning. But if you do that, you're sacrificing, you know, you potentially even being in the game any further. So, but yeah, that's interesting.
So what do you think a fair offer would have been? Like if you were the banker, what offer would you have made?
Just looking at whether like, cause Rob's goal is to stay in the game. It matters less to him how much money he gets. I mean, the bigger thing is you want the big prize at the end. So you want to stay in the game. So it'd be offering, making an offer that splits, you know, as evenly as possible, you know, six cases below, six cases above, because then he's going, it's 50-50. Like, so then it's a harder choice. This seemed like, you know, Rob made the right choice, but it was pretty easy statistically,
yeah.
You know, that you're going to make that like, hey, keeps him in the game. And, you know, it's just going to get harder as it goes further along.
But what, if this was a regular Deal or No Deal game, what offer would you make if this isn't Deal or No Deal Island?
I would do something more like what they did this time, because it makes sense, because then you're trying to entice them to take the money and not go for a higher amount. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this changes up. Deal or No Deal Island's a whole change in the game. So it's interesting. It makes a, you know, it's a shift.
So Rob is like calling out every single family member, and they're all women too. Like, I don't think he said his brother. It was always like his four daughters, his wife.
We did his daughters and his wife. Yeah. Then
and his sister too.
Yes. But then he didn't get any farther than that, right?
Yeah. I think that was it. I think he did like six cases or I don't know. He called all that. He called out all those. And it's interesting because I feel like that's kind of the opposite of what I would play is I'm like, I typically am like, oh, that's an ugly number. I want that one out. It's not, I'm like, I want to save, oh yeah, like 10. That's my sister's birthday. I'm going to save that one for later because there's probably something good in there.
Yeah. Well, his first case was, I think, his oldest daughter's birthday. But yeah. And then the rest, he just picked numbers. And yeah, no, I agree. It's like the ones you're tossing out should be numbers you don't like or it's not something good associated with it. I mean, granted, it's all statistics, you know, you're just randomly picking, like trying to justify why you're picking numbers. I feel like, I think when Claudia did it, I don't think she even, you know, everybody it seems like seems to explain why I'm picking this case because of this.
Yeah.
I'm picking this case because of that. But I think it was Claudia who kind of was like 7, 13, you know, that just said these are the numbers.
She did a little bit where she said like that was my case, that was my first case that I had, and I think she had another case that she may have had, and then like so maybe she was kind of like
Kim. I'm not sure, I'm trying to,
one of them, it was either Claudia or Kim, one of them was like, hey, like what do you guys think? I think Claudia was doing that a little bit, like hey, what number, give me a number, like I and yeah, so
yeah, no reason.
Rob ends up winning, he's alive and he's gets to pick who goes home, so he's very happy. He finally takes out the person who's been coming for him since the very beginning. Kim is out. I know you loved Kim. Quiet episode for her, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's, I've liked Kim throughout this game. She's just kind of an underdog, like I said. You know, she's the oldest out there, but she really was a fighter, and that's what I appreciated about Kim. And when she started to say her, like, goodbyes, like, and it was neat to see how she's like so grateful to have the chance. She's like, at my age, you don't get many opportunities. I was going to say like, yay, Kim, like way to leave the game with your head held high. And then she had to kind of trash talk Rob. And I was like, darn it, Kim, it's a game. Like that was the part where I was a little disappointed in Kim. I mean, I get it. We all kind of go through this where you realize like in the moment, you're like, oh, there's somebody kind of to blame for my exit and I hold it against them. But usually those feelings, you know, dissipate over time. But yeah, it was kind of sad to see Kim go. And it is hard. Like you feel for them. Like Kim had said, you know, she'd lost her job, I think. And, you know, at her age, it's hard to get a chance to like, you know, build up wealth and do things like that. And so it really was a great opportunity for her. And so it is, you know, it's hard. Everybody has a story and you feel for them. And it's like, oh, wish everybody could win $1 million.
So true. Which, but then if everyone won $1 million, $1 million would be like, we would all be poor then, the rest of us. Like,
yeah, well, it wouldn't make for a fun game because you have to have something there that everybody wants to be cutthroat and backstab for. So you have to have it like that, which I had to laugh when Rob started playing and talking about the money. And he goes, well, I have four daughters. I need stuff for Starbucks and Lululemon. And I was like, that's exactly where I'm at in life. I have two girls and a son, and I can't tell you how often I get hit up for Starbucks and my kids wanting to buy Lululemon. It's a thing. So whether you live in California or you live in Florida, all the same.
Okay, a couple things before we go. Speaking of motherhood, there was another thing on here. Amy says that she never lets her kids win. Do you let your kids win, Brooke?
Maybe when they were really little. Now, no. But then it's funny because my husband tells me, he's like, I don't like playing games with you because, like, if you let me win once in a while. KJ's competitive too, but some of the word games, they're not his favorite. And so, yeah, he's like, it's not fun when you win all the time. So, no, I don't. I don't let my kids win. I'm the same.
You know who does? You know who doesn't let her kids win either is Rachel Riley, friend of the pod, because she and Brendan recently got a Nintendo Switch, and she was telling me like a couple months ago, I don't know if she's still playing as much, but when she got it, she's like, I'm a gamer now, I'm playing so much Switch, all these Mario games, and her and Brendan are like, we're just going to smoke our kids. We don't care. Like, they have to get better. Like, we're gonna try to blow them out in every game we play. Mario Kart, Mario Party. Does yes. that surprise you from Rachel at all?
No. I feel like it's like reality show moms. We're like, we're going to put our kids in our place and show no mercy. Actually, it's funny. When our kids got the Nintendo Switch for Christmas a couple years ago, we got it and they all like went to sleep, and then KJ and I broke out the Nintendo Switch and we're playing Mario Kart and we're like yelling, and my family all laughed at me because I drive in real time. Like, I turn like this when I'm turning. It's embarrassing. Anyway, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting there playing and one of our kids walks down the stairs and goes, and they're like, oh, mom and dad are playing with our toys while we're sleeping. Yeah, it's fun. But it's also a very proud moment when your child legitimately beats you at something. That's the thing that's cool, is when they finally get to the point where they're like competition.
Yeah, I remember I used to play my dad one-on-one in basketball a lot growing up. And I knew that he was never trying super, super hard when I was really little, because that would just be kind of mean if he was like blocking all my shots. But at a certain point when I was probably like 11 or 12 and he hadn't got, I mean, he's at this point, he's probably in his, let's say I'm 12. He would have been, he's 36 years. Okay. So he's in his late 40s. Uh-huh. So like, granted, he's getting up there a little bit with the basketball. but he, I remember, I think I, that was when, around the time when I would actually start to beat him, or, you know, our games would be close. And I think the first time I beat him, I was like, wow, that was so rewarding, that, 'cause I knew that he wasn't just taking it easy on me. Mm-hmm. And yet I still can't beat him in golf. That's the funny thing about golf.
Yeah, see, there's no, like, you know, you're not limited by age in golf like you are in some other sports.
It's funny, like golf, it's like the people who are the most experienced, no matter how old they are, they tend to be like my dad is, so let's see. So now he's 66, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's 66, and it's like the experience of knowing how he should be chipping, or how much wind is blowing at him, and where he should be aiming this ball, or what club he should use. All these little things. It's just like 66 years of golf experience. Like, he kicks my butt all the time.
Nice.
But I can outdrive him though. So.
Oh. But he makes up of it for the rest of it on the putting green.
Yeah. I waste my drives. I bomb it like 280, and then I end up like, it takes me like 3 extra shots to get on the green. Like, it's just how it goes. Okay. This Magic, I want to ask you this before we get going here. Magic the Gathering. That was the other kind of reference we got in this.
Yeah.
Any experience with this game? Have you heard of this game? Are you familiar with it at all?
I've heard of it, but I've never played Magic or Dungeons and Dragons, any of that stuff.
No, me neither.
No experience, but I've heard of them. I had friends, I remember when I was younger, who did like Dungeons and Dragons, and I know there's like the role play stuff. And so, but yeah, not sure on that. How about you?
Yeah, I'm not either. I just remember there were always, like, when I was in college, there were always like, there's always kind of like a crew that would be in the middle of, like, you'd see in dorm and it's like, oh, those are the Magic kids. And yeah. I'm sure we got some Magic kids that listen to this show. So I'm not hating on it. I think it's pretty cool. I've never played it. It's not really my jam. I'm not really into the Dungeons and Dragons stuff either, but it was, I feel like Aaron explained it pretty well to us. It sounded a little like Pokemon. Pokemon was also something I didn't play, but I know a lot of people my age play Pokemon. So
yeah, no, I love games. And so if for people, I get that, like having that camaraderie in those games that you get together and do. Now that I'm like full on mom, I got invited to Bunko night like last month. Now it's a regular mom thing. We do Bunkos Tuesday a month. So I don't do Magic the Gathering. I do Bunko now. That's the stage in life.
We both do Settlers of Catan.
Yes. Settlers is a very fun one. Yep.
Yeah. So, hey, if we got any listeners who want to play Settlers with us sometime online, just drop a comment. Let us know.
Yes, I am in. I cannot get my family to play Settlers with me. So I'll take friends online that'll play. And we've never played each other, Jack. So that would
We haven't.
That would be fun. See if he comes out on top.
Very competitive. I feel like I would love to know if Rachel plays. She'd be a great person to play Settlers with.
Oh, yeah. She'd be fun. Rachel and I have been on a team together for the Temecula Reality Rally. Rachel and Brandon, we did that. And I think we got like fourth. We did pretty good out of a lot of teams. So yeah, she's fun and competitive. I enjoy her.
She's great. Okay, so we got to wrap things up. Any other thoughts on this episode? Anything in your notes that you wanted to touch on that we didn't get a chance to?
No, I think that was it. Looking forward to next week's episode.
Should be a lot of fun, Brooke. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you, if not next week, in a couple weeks.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, y'all. That does it today for our conversation with Brooke Struck, recapping Deal or No Deal Island. As we kind of hinted at there at the end, Brooke's about to go on vacation with her family, so she might not be able to join us next week or the week after. But that won't stop us. We will certainly have people fill in for her. We'll have some other guests. It'll be a lot of fun. So if you guys enjoyed our podcast today and you're enjoying the show, please hit subscribe here on YouTube. Make sure you hit that like button, comment. Guys, let us know what you want to hear from us in the future. Let us hear your thoughts on this episode. Who do you think's going out next? Love to hear your thoughts, get you guys connected, and maybe we'll answer some of your questions. If you guys have any questions, either about Survivor or Deal or No Deal Island, just drop that there in the comments. Hit like, hit subscribe, and turn on those notifications. Until next time. Oh, and you guys can follow me on social media at Jack Vita Show. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. You can hit subscribe on there as well. And we've got a lot of trader stuff coming out as well. We're going to do an interview soon with the winner, one of the two winners of the traders. If you have not seen the traders, I will not say who that is. I don't want to spoil that show for you. It's really good though. And Stephanie from Brooke's season, Stephanie LaGrossa, the Survivor legend, she and I have been covering that show for the past 2 months, 2.5 months, doing recaps each week. So you might want to check those out. I've got a sports channel. If you're sports fans, we're doing our MLB preview series. So just released our American League West preview, and we'll have a preview out for each division over the next 2 weeks. Until next time, I'm Jack Vita, bringing the Dancing Lobsters.